You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
I saw the end of the world. I could feel all this death.
Jean, it was just a dream.
You wander through the willows in the forest you have found.
I've been called many things over many lifetimes.
Trying to hide.
Ra, Krishna, Yahweh.
Ever since the world found out about mutants, there have been secret societies who see them as some kind of second coming or sign of God. They believe that tens of thousands of years ago, an ancient being was born, the world's first
mutant.
You are all my children. And you're lost because you follow blind leaders. But I am here now. I'm here for you.
Wherever this being was, he always had four followers he would imbue with power.
Like the four horsemen of the apocalypse. He got that one from the Bible.
Or the Bible got it from him.
What is it?
Oh, God.
He can control all of us.
Charles!
The world needs the X-Men.
That's why I'm here. To fight.
Not all of us can control our powers.
Then don't. This is war.
Everything they built will fall. And from the ashes of their world, we'll build a better one.
I've never felt power like this before.
Welcome to the Crespodo.
All right, here we go. Episode, bonus episode, no number, just a bonus episode. Bonus episode number something of Cinema Crespediso is here. How you doing, guys? I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Just starting the show with a little bit of banter. This is what you're supposed to do. You're connecting with the audience by salutation, and then how do you do? Wait for you to answer. That's Al Juicy Cogburn. Chew on his nails. Juicy Cogburn.
What up, bro? I'm not chewing on my nails. I'm cleaning my nails with my teeth.
Oh, but there's a click. Okay. Like a cat.
Spending
too much time with that cat.
Never mind.
That's for sure.
It happens.
How you doing, dude?
Doing.
We are here with our listeners.
Yes.
To do a spoiler-filled bonus episode on X-Men Apocalypse.
Seriously?
Yes.
Help me. Got to turn it off.
Shit. Hold on a second. And then there we go.
All right.
X-Men Apocalypse. The third in the second trilogy of X-Men films.
And the third ones are always the worst, Chris.
But they say so in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about X-Men The Last Stand.
Yes, which was so awful.
But they do it knowing that they're also the third in their own series of movies.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. Did they know? Did they know the whole time what they were doing?
I don't know.
Leave themselves open to that. So this is obviously a spoiler episode. We're going to talk about the movie in detail. If you haven't seen the movie and you want to go into it not knowing, stop listening. Stop.
Right now.
Listening. Watch the movie. Come back. Listen later. If you don't care about that stuff or if you watch it already, here we go. We're going to talk about all them beats.
Mm-hmm.
Drew.
Chris.
Let's get started. I guess overall, walking out of X-Men Apocalypse, how'd you feel? What'd you think?
I mean, I felt pretty good. It was definitely not the best of the X-Men movies.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the worst either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it might have been the worst of this franchise.
Okay. Of this three?
Yes.
First Class.
Uh-huh.
Days of Future Past.
Correct.
Apocalypse.
Yes.
The ones that called Age of Apocalypse, like the original comic.
Well, no, that would have been different.
No, you know how they do. They take the title, take the basic premise, but then they do their own thing. They wanted to call it Age of Apocalypse.
Well, no, but...
But Age of Ultron and Transformers Age of Extinction both came out right around, like, the last, within the 2 years. So, like, we have to drop the Age of part.
It would have been confusing for comic book fans.
For the 1% of comic book...
Yes.
1% of comic book fans that know about this ahead of time. Fox doesn't give a shit about those people.
There is an Age of Apocalypse, and it was this weird, like, tangential universe.
Isn't that what this whole thing is? All these movies have been tangential universes now. The timelines make no sense if you try to line them up.
This one's even weirder, Chris.
Well,
even weirder.
In the comic book movies, we're talking about Crisis, Infinite Earths type shit, man. Yeah. There's so many. The continuity of comic books is so ridiculous over the years because you have so many different writers and different want to tell different stories.
Yes.
The movies have now, the X-Men movies anyway, have gone the same way.
Yeah.
These things make no fucking sense. First off, okay, so the movie takes place.
We're in the 80s.
Mostly in 1983. Yes. Very specifically 1983. And logically, it makes sense because First Class took place in the mid-60s. Mm-hmm. Days of Future Past was mostly in the early and mid-70s.
Correct.
Go for another 10 years. 83,
okay.
Makes sense, I get it. But, like, the 80s thing had nothing to do with nothing. Like, it was just a setting. And even then, it barely felt like an 80s movie.
The fact that it was 1983 had no bearing on anything.
And they could have like done something with the Cold War stuff, or but they didn't even touch on that. It was just 1983.
People were wearing slightly ridiculous clothes. They just had to set a time frame. So I guess, all these other silly movies when they come out,
instead of doing 2 '70s X-Men era movies in a row,
exactly.
Because now 10 years have passed, supposedly, almost between the events of the last movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this one?
Yes.
20 years?
Total.
For some characters from the first movie to the third?
Yes.
Yet they all look the same?
Relatively speaking.
Like maybe a couple of years older?
Yeah. I mean, okay. As
first movie was made in 2011 and this one was made in 2015.
What's her face?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes. She can get away with it because of her character.
Sure. 100%. Yes. and so can Wolverine.
Yes.
Because of the slow aging.
Yes, which means, because technically the movie, the original, the Wolverine movie, right?
Which one? The last one? The last Wolverine solo movie?
I guess.
In Japan?
I mean, yeah, that was, what was that? When was that set?
That was set after the events of X-Men Origins Wolverine, which that movie took place after Vietnam, so that was in the mid-70s.
Gotcha.
So, the Wolverine, but were there cell phones in that movie? I can't remember. There was some, like, technology stuff in that movie.
Yeah.
I can't remember what time period they placed that. That might be 70s or
80s.
Interesting. Yeah. See, you can't try to make sense of it. You can't make sense of it.
That's the thing about Wolverine, though. Wolverine's one of those, you know, he's ageless. I mean, he's been the same age.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. That's fine.
So,
I get that.
That's okay. Which is fine. Which is even cool with the old Wolverine, the only person who was in the other X-Men movies, has been in all the X-Men movies.
Since 2000, yeah.
All of them.
He's been in all, I think, 8.
Yes.
If you count Deadpool, then he hasn't been in all of them. But he has been in all 8 X-Men, the first 3 X-Men.
But you see...
This 3 X-Men, and then 2 Wolverines.
The thing is, with the budget, they probably couldn't have, which is why they didn't do it. But technically, in the comics, Deadpool's part of the Weapon X program.
Sure, yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Deadpool and Wolverine know each other.
100%. I would expect this Deadpool to interact with whoever the next Wolverine's going to be. Because after this, we just have Wolverine 3, and then Hugh Jackman's hanging up the claws, man. It's been 17 years of Wolverine.
But if they're going comic book route and do female Wolverine, then no, because she's a newer character.
They may be introducing the Weapon X 23 or whatever.
Whatever, she's only got 4 claws instead of 6.
What?
Okay.
Yep. Damn, we see women getting... That's the wage gap right there. She can't even get the same amount of claws.
Nope.
They gotta give
66%
her...
66% of the claws.
What a...
Two-thirds of the claws.
What a bunch of BS that is. Alright, so... Where are we gonna start with this?
Let's just start at the beginning.
Let's just start at the beginning. So you said you liked it, though.
I liked it, though. It was good. I mean, like I said, I don't think it was as good as Days of Future Past. Mm-hmm. Or... First Class.
But as an X-Men movie, you walk out of it like, oh,
at least I got something closer to the real Dark Phoenix.
Because they bust that out at the end.
Well, yeah. I mean, in the comic books, the Phoenix Force is its own entity. Mm. It just happens to find Jean Grey because sure. she's the most powerful psychic.
Like that space thing flying around in Preacher.
Exactly, yes.
It found the right host.
Exactly, okay. The Phoenix Force found the right host. So okay. It's not like inside of her. I mean, yes, she's a really powerful psychic.
Uh-huh.
And she can do all that shit without the Phoenix Force.
But it's attracted to that and amplified it. And sure, okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are a number.
But they don't get into that in the movie. That's not in the movie at all. She's just a telepath.
Yeah, there are a number of reasons, actually. There's also this whole thing with, you know, the Phoenix Force also chose her because Scott Summers, Cyclops. He has infinite power.
Okay.
If his eyes are open, that laser blast is coming out.
Okay.
It never stops. It never ends. It never decreases.
Sure.
So sure. The Phoenix Force knows that Jean Grey and Cyclops are like an item thing.
Okay.
So another reason why the Phoenix Force got into Jean Grey was so she could consume Cyclops' powers. You know, he would have been her battery. Basically,
okay.
You know,
sure.
Forever
sure.
giving her more energy.
Sure.
So
none of that's in this movie.
No.
None of that happens
of
at all.
None of it.
We do get a new Scott Summers.
Yes.
A new Jean Grey.
And a new Jean Grey. And at the end, for some reason, like I said, the Phoenix Force
is
already inside.
She reveals the breath of her power.
Yes.
In a Phoenix outburst of.
Psychic power.
A psychic blast.
Yeah.
Which manages to peel away Apocalypse layer by layer.
Yes.
Probably the best.
Incinerated him. That was pretty cool.
Probably the best part. One of the best parts of the movie. Well, that image right there. The build up to her, man,
going Super Saiyan?
Let's talk about this movie backwards. So at the end.
Okay.
At the very end of the movie. We got Professor X. He's like, his face is being pushed into the ground. It's all bloody.
Well, and they show how he quote unquote loses his hair.
Yeah, the most. Yeah. So silly. And he's like waiting for Jean Grey to step up, and then the whole moment, Jean,
you have to kill him.
Yeah, all of that with the Jean Grey, and she walks out, and the blast, and like, oh shit, and it takes apart Apocalypse by like his layers to nothing.
Yes.
I like that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was cool.
I mean, just the imagery alone is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it looked nice.
No.
I liked it. So in the beginning, what happened at first? Oh, they started pre-credits.
Yeah.
Egypt.
Correct. And that scene that you see in the trailers where Apocalypse is the two people on the slabs.
Yes.
And there's you don't know what's going on.
One is old Apocalypse and one is Oscar Isaac.
Exactly.
And they're transferring.
Yes. Basically, I guess in the movies, Apocalypse transfers his consciousness from host to host.
Yeah,
so he's like a parasite of sorts.
Sure.
Makes
sense.
And they find Oscar Isaac, who is a mutant, but he heals.
Like,
so.
Look at this short, handsome mutant. But yes. They demonstrated his healing ability.
Exactly. So they were like,
we're
listen, exactly. So, you know, we've got a new host for you. Now you'll never die. And then he's betrayed. The pyramid crumbles during the transference, that's when
he's vulnerable. His four horsemen at that time have to protect him. And then a bunch of people that are like been enslaved by him, they choose that moment to revolt. And so then they knock out these blocks that turn into two giant blocks. Like they start sliding down these holes into the pyramid, like these perfectly placed holes.
Yeah.
And they slide all the way through, and then they knock out these like two pillars that somehow hold up the whole thing. And then the whole thing, what was that? What is that system? Were they building that secretly overnight? They built tunnels or? Is that
an
emergency destruct button for the pyramids just in case, like for the future that they knew about?
I don't think emergency. I think if you look at the actual pyramids, there are strange shafts like that throughout.
Sure.
Nobody knows why they were put there.
Uh huh.
Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Yeah. So you take some artistic freedom.
And then, okay, so maybe it's like a self destruct. Like the alien spaceship's about to fly out. We need to keep it in. So he hit the blocks and then it buries it. Of course, then he got buried.
Yeah.
Everyone dies, he gets buried.
Yes.
Explaining his absence from the world for thousands and thousands of years.
Correct.
Smash cut to opening credit, where it's like, you're flying through a tunnel, and it's like Nazi symbol, and like Soviet Union, and like,
whoa. Well, yeah, we're going through the ages.
Yeah, real fast, in a very hokey looking way that obviously designed for 3D.
And we end up in the
1980s. 1983, specifically, 1983.
Moira McTaggart, right? Does it open up with her in Egypt?
Uncovering that whole thing?
Yeah.
Did it open with her? Did we see Storm first?
No, Storm was... We didn't see Storm until Apocalypse was already out.
Okay. Yeah, so more, I guess she's... why is she going to the... She's, like, investigating some hole?
Well, she's investigating mutants. She always was.
She's always investigating mutants. And so, she just happens to be at a spot where...
She
leads to where Apocalypse is buried far deep below.
She's investigating a symbol. The symbol of Apocalypse.
She's investigating the symbol of Apocalypse.
She finds it. She finds it. It just so happens to be the perfect time when those guys have... uncovered, you know, they've made a hole
that pyramid,
so
tip.
The sun can get to the tip.
Yeah,
just the tip, Chris.
Just the tip. But the tip glow, it makes it glow hot, and it starts dripping down off the tip, down all the way down to the bottom. So Apocalypse picks him up.
Yeah,
and he gets out of there. Yeah. So he wakes up conveniently in 1983.
Yeah,
and he's like, "What?"
And he's walking around downtown Cairo.
With a cloak,
and he's all like, "Yo, there's this mutant that I see who's poor and stealing, and she's black and has a mohawk."
Yeah, so I'm gonna...
Make her Storm.
I'm gonna take advantage of this one. It's like going to a Boys and Girls Club of America and finding disenfranchised youths.
Exactly.
And then grooming them to be your like, sex partner.
Yes.
Your underage pedophile. It's like Apocalypse is a pedophile. Yeah. They never once call him Apocalypse. He's always Sever.
Or whatever.
Whatever.
Well,
he said
he's been called many things throughout the ages.
Yeah, Yahweh, Ella, the face. Yeah.
Osiris.
The two-faced god. So, but they never call him Apocalypse. They say Apocalypse a couple times, but they never not
at yeah. And then after...
So that's him beginning to get his four horsemen. He finds his first horseman.
And then smash cut, boom! Now we're back at the X-Mansion.
Getting James McAvoy as Professor X.
Yep.
Chilling in his wheelchair, full head of hair, rocking the lavender...
Well, actually,
the lavender
jacket, first,
Miami Vice
first
combo.
First, smash cut to East Berlin.
East Berlin!
Where Angel is fighting
Mutant
the Blob.
Club.
Yes. Right? He beats the Blob.
Yep.
The Blob's carried off.
Yep.
Then we get introduced to Nightcrawler.
Yep, and also it's revealed that Mystique is rolling around in here.
Exactly. She breaks up the Fight Club,
gets them out of there.
Gets one of them out.
Gets Nightcrawler out of there.
Yeah, Angel goes off on his own.
Angel flies away.
Yeah,
in the chaos.
Yes.
Yeah.
She gets Nightcrawler. They go back.
And why is she getting Nightcrawler again?
She's picking up mutants. She's helping the cause.
Is that what she's doing? I thought she was on her own, though. I thought she was a lone wolf. But she's still recruiting people?
Yeah, she's recruiting people.
Okay. Because she gets Nightcrawler. Eventually gets him back to the mansion. But on the way there, that's when the whole thing with Magneto goes down in Poland.
Yes, and after that, we get Scott Summers as well, the intro to Scott.
Right, which comes after... Well, I guess that all kind of happens concurrently.
Because one, two, three.
Because she shows up at the X-Mansion at the same time as like Scott Summers, pretty much. And the whole Magneto thing went down like on the way. There's a weird thing with time in this movie where like things were happening. They kept cutting back concurrently, right?
Yeah.
But they kept cutting back to like... It seemed like one storyline would progress a day or two. But then they would cut back to Jennifer Lawrence and Nightcrawler in Berlin. And it's like the same night and they're wearing the same clothes.
Yeah.
I don't know, it was kind of...
You're right.
It was a little weird. Anyway, so...
Yeah, the whole Poland thing. Magneto's being human.
Yes.
He's got a wife and a kid.
Assumed name.
Yes.
He's trying to hide that. He is a wanted mutant fugitive for massive murder and destruction.
Correct.
He's hiding out.
He's working at a steel mill.
Which, for Magneto, it would be like, I guess.
Yeah. There's the...
You go to work at a lumberyard.
There's the event that's felt around the world, which is Apocalypse waking up.
Apocalypse wakes up. That is correct. It is felt around the world. It causes like earthquakes and stuff everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's how we... Yeah.
Yeah, and that caused an accident, which he saved someone with his Magneto powers.
Exactly,
but other people see it and they're like, oh shit, we got a mutant.
Yeah.
So they dine him out.
Exactly. And then...
The cops come. Gestapo.
But they come... They know who he is. So they come without any metal. So one guy's got a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
And he's just sitting there holding it cocked. And eventually either he gets lazy or his arm gets tired. I forget...
Yeah, Drew, that's what he got lasers like, bleh, let it go. No, what happened was that the daughter freaked out because he has his wife and daughter.
Oh, yeah, she's a mutant, too.
She's a mutant. Her eyes go blue, and all the birds in the area start freaking out and attacking the people. It's like, you're taking my daddy away, right? That makes her then Scarlet. That's for sure Scarlet Witch, or it could be anyone.
Okay, is whatever.
That's a power Scarlet Witch conceivably could have.
Yeah.
Bird control powers,
but they don't call her Wanda. They call her something else, because
it's a Polish name.
Yeah,
I don't know. But was Wanda a Polish character? Isn't she? Anyway, So, yeah, and then they all freak out, and he lets go the arrow, and it kills both the daughter and the wife at the same time.
Yeah.
Probably the most affecting scene of the movie, because Michael Fassbender seems, I'm pretty sure, incapable of giving a bad performance.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's always good. No matter the movie, no matter what he's doing, he's always believable. And
yeah,
he's always,
like, he got down on his knees and fucking actually cried. Shed tears. And I'm like, oh, Magneto, that sucks.
And it was a very, for being a big X-Men Apocalypse, another big comic book movie, it's a very quiet little moment that's like, it explains the character and why he makes the decisions he does for the rest of the movie. Mm-hmm. Apocalypse shows up just at this moment to take advantage of this pain and this hurt and convert him into a horseman to destroy the whole world. It's the whole, because he's always fluctuating between trusting the people.
Well, trusting Xavier.
Xavier style, having hope. Which he seemed to be, just trying to live with people. He was doing it.
And that character
And then the people, fucking humans, took it away.
And the character has done that over the decades.
Yeah, Magneto's back and forth. He's a flip-flopper. He's like, I'll give him a chance. And then people do something to fuck it up. And he's like, no, now I'm going to be evil.
Yeah.
Xavier somehow talks him back to it. He's cool for a while. And then people fuck it up again. Magneto's right. I'm just saying, hashtag Magneto was right.
I'm pretty sure currently in the comic books, Magneto's on the X-Men.
Yeah, he goes back and forth. Sometimes a good guy, sometimes a bad guy. Absolutely. Same thing with these movies.
I'm gonna take out all the adamantium out of Wolverine.
The original X-Men, the first three X-Men, he was a strictly bad guy.
Yeah.
With an obvious history, an alluded to history, but he was a bad guy. And this one, from first class year, he's gone back and forth.
Well, it's because, that's the way it
was. A little more truthful to the actual comic lore. And their friendship. And it makes more sense, too. But yeah, hashtag Magneto is right 100%. People don't deserve to.
No.
Mutants should just rise up and kill everyone and take over the world and just be a mutant Earth. They're more advanced. Mm-hmm. They got powers.
Yes.
They're better than us normies. Mm-hmm. We don't deserve it. It's called evolution.
Yes.
It's called Darwinism. Correct. So just hopefully they will let me live and,
No, they won't.
I could serve them as some sort of like slave type of relationship.
I'm sure. I'm sure you can be a slave.
Yeah, but modern 21st century slave. Like, I could still live in my home or something.
No.
Just come on. Don't, you don't gotta put me in some sort of dirty barrack.
Yep. Dirty barracks.
Auschwitz style. This movie even went to Auschwitz. Yep. That has jokes. And then they go to Auschwitz.
And they destroy it with magnetism.
And then they destroy it with magnetism. Yeah. But that's movie.
Way later.
Not even that much way later. Because after Magneto gets... Apocalypse recruits him at the factory.
Apocalypse... Okay. First we do... Magneto kills the Gestapo guys. Then we jump cut...
Which was awesome.
Then we jump cut back to the X-Mansion.
With his locket.
Scott Summers' powers coming to be.
Scott Summers, who it's like we cut to him at school just in time to
his,
see
his,
like
eyes, his eyes hurt, and then pow, and then exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Havoc, who in this
is Brohan,
who in this is his older brother. Yeah. Comic books, he's the younger brother.
Oh, take that! But they introduce Havoc in the first class.
Yeah,
because they already had they didn't know they were going to do reboot.
Exactly.
This Cyclops, Scott Summers, played by Ty Sheridan. Kid from Mud, great movie. Yep. Also Joe, another great movie.
He was good.
And he's going to be in, what's he got? He's got something big next after this. It'll come to me.
Well, I mean, conceivably, he could be Scott Summers for the next 20 years.
That's the idea. He's going to be, because all the guys, all the recast people.
They're all young.
They're all like right around 20.
Yeah.
Both Ty Sheridan, new Jean Grey, Sophie Turner, Sansa Stark.
Yeah.
And Cody Smith McPhee. The kid from The Road, who's now Nightcrawler, they're all of them born in 96.
So there we go.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Bunch of babies. Mm-hmm. Bunch of fresh-faced, barely been fucked babies.
Yes. Although...
all of their movie stars, so who knows?
I was about to say, they're movie stars, Chris. I'm pretty sure...
They're fucking each other and fucking the groupies, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, here to talk about the sex lives of movie stars. If you want that, listen to the National Enquirer podcast. You think they have the National Enquirer as a podcast?
Probably. If not...
If they don't, they're stupid not to.
If not, we need to get on that.
Right. Sell it to them. Like, we just talk shit about celebs and then add allegedly to everything, and then we're good to go.
Exactly.
And we'll get to.
And then, boom.
So, yeah, Andrew Scott Summers, he goes to the X Mansion, shows up there the exact same time as Jennifer Lawrence with the Nightcrawler.
Yes, exactly.
With the blue.
Yep. All at the same time, and then they have to go. They have to use.
And she's like, "We gotta go save Eric or something. Like, we gotta save Magneto."
Yes, exactly.
She's all obsessed with trying to go get Magneto.
Yes,
trying to bring him back to the good side
because
she knows
because by then we've gone back to Magneto and done the whole
Auschwitz thing.
Yeah.
I liked how Apocalypse, one of his favorite ways of disposing of people, was like melding them into walls or into the ground.
Yes,
but they would still be alive.
Yes, but you're completely surrounded by. I mean, you're inside the wall now.
Yeah, you're inside the wall. You're inside the ground. Yeah. And you're alive, but you're going to die.
Yes.
A horrible, suffocated death.
Uh-huh.
That was a weird way to... Very calm, weird way to kill people. Very deliberate old style of...
It's old school, Chris.
I guess so. That kind of Old Testament.
Literally.
Literally Old Testament. what was up with that? I guess because they had to address it, because I forgot that it happened at first class. The whole... Professor X mind-raped... McTaggart and took her memories of the events from first class.
Yeah.
So, but then he wants to like hook up with her again. Well, and he feels guilty about it.
Well, because like there was, I mean, because she worked for the CIA or something, and he wanted to make sure that like she kept her job.
And because it was the '60s, they didn't know the future mutants. He's like, I didn't know how the world would treat us if we'd be more accepted. Blah blah blah. It might be safer for her, but it ended up being. He felt a mistake.
Yeah.
So the whole time he's like I want to bang her, but I feel like, you know.
I should bang her because we totally made out. Hell, we probably even banged a couple times.
We could have. We were like totally clicking. It was like going great. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I didn't just like keep hooking up with that for 2 decades because we all look the same 2 decades. Anyway, just great looking sex for 20 years.
Yeah. With a paraplegic.
Yeah, paraplegic. Yeah, actually. So much.
Well, but you
know,
I mean.
You never know.
Dude, he can. That's different
for everyone.
He can just mind fuck her.
Powers of
Professor X.
So instead of that, he took away her memories, and now he feels bad about it.
Yeah.
So that's a whole subplot about the whole thing too. The only real like emotional parts of the movie are the whole Magneto thing, and then Professor X taking McTaggart's memories. Otherwise, all the other characters mostly, I don't know. It's like, okay, so Cyclops, he's just getting his powers.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know how to handle them.
Correct.
But old Beast.
But neither does Jean Grey.
Neither does Jean Grey. She's still getting a hand over. She's a little ahead of him, but she's still freaking out about it. So she sort of has an arc in that she's freaked out about it early on, but at the very end, she embraces the full extent of her powers and defeats Apocalypse. Cyclops, he is like freaking out at the beginning. It's a pair of glasses. And it's like, oh.
I'm cool.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I need to use my powers. Take that off.
Oh, but then,
but
then he gets all pissed off when his brother dies, when Havoc dies.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because there's that whole thing, too. Because
they get rid of Havoc because
because they do the.
Like, fuck this guy. No one likes him anymore.
Yeah.
You do the whole what?
Well, I mean, they do the whole Cerebro thing. Havoc has to tear it to shreds.
Cerebro, so yeah.
The Apocalypse is inside.
Because Apocalypse gets inside Xavier's mind using... When he's... Professor X uses Cerebro to communicate with Magneto. And while they're talking, Apocalypse is like, hey, who got on the line over there? and he busts in on that three-way call. Like, and he's like, oh, this guy, he can connect to all the mutants in the world.
And all the real people, too.
Yeah, I'm going to use this motherfucker. So then they use their, like, boom tube to get to just, now we're just going to show up in the X-Mansion. Because it's way easier than using the jet.
And we're going to...
And we're going to kidnap.
We're going to kidnap and then ignite the jet. Itself.
And blow up the jet.
But then, all of a sudden, boom, guess who just happens to show up?
Flash is like, I'm here looking for my daddy.
Quicksilver?
Quicksilver shows up. I said Flash. Quicksilver, what do you guys get? It's a fast guy. Fast guy shows up.
He's like, I'm looking for my daddy. But before I realize there's an explosion here, I'm going to save all of these people.
I'm going to save all the people and the dog in a fun little 4-minute sequence set to Euromythic's Sweet Dreams.
Yeah. Right. It was good.
And it was a fun little...
Those slow motion scenes with Quicksilver are a lot of fun.
The one from the last movie and this one, they're both standout scenes in both movies.
Yes.
For sure. But at least in this one, then, after he shows up and he does that cool scene, at the very least, he doesn't then just disappear.
Yeah, he's like, so...
He sticks around.
So, like, I'm here, like, looking for my padre. I might as well just, like, hang out with you guys.
I think we might as well work together, because we got kind of similar goals here. So then he's joined the team.
Yep.
Pretty much. But then the mansion gets blown up.
And they take away Professor X.
So, like, fuck, we gotta go get Professor X. First, we have to have a 20-minute movie diversion.
Well, yeah, because all of a sudden...
All of a sudden,
everybody stay calm.
Stryker shows up.
Stryker's here, and we need what we're here for. What? Who are they there for?
They took Mystique, Quicksilver, Beast, and
somebody else.
They didn't get Cyclops and Jean Grey and Nightcrawler.
No, because they hopped in. And then couldn't hop out.
Havoc was already dead?
Yes, Havoc was dead.
I feel like there was one more person. Was it Jubilee? Did they take Jubilee?
No, they didn't take Jubilee.
Jubilee, pointless. Pointless inclusion of Jubilee.
They didn't even call her Jubilee. There was just an Asian girl in a yellow jacket.
That was just hanging around.
Yeah. And you're just like, that's Jubilee.
Like, who is this Asian girl hanging around?
That's Jubilee.
There's pictures online of Jean Grey, Jubilee, and Cyclops in a record store. And, like, Cyclops hold up a record. Like, because they went to a mall at one point.
Yeah.
So there's obviously all this mall stuff of them just hanging out that they cut out of the movie.
Yeah.
There's also an image online of Jean Grey holding Cyclops' head, like guiding his eyes.
Yeah.
And that never happens in the movie either. Which is a shame because that actually looked kind of cool. He's like using the knife. So they hop into the helicopter, the Stryker helicopter, and they go to the Weapon X facility.
Yes.
And it's just all an excuse to get Wolverine in there.
Well, no, exactly. Well, all an excuse for these guys to test out their powers real quick.
They're testing their powers. They're working together.
We get to see Wolverine.
So Hugh Jackman reprises his role.
Yep.
One more time.
They bust him out. They bust him out. He's all in his fucking old school Weapon X suit. If you guys have ever, if you're familiar with the Wolverine lore and you know what it looks like, fucking suit.
The headpiece with the cables
connected everywhere.
And his mind is all fucked up. Yep. So when he is released, he's like
Berserker mode.
He goes in Berserker mode. He just kills everyone.
Everything.
Stabbing a decent amount of blood in this scene. More blood than I've seen in any X-Men movie, I'd say.
And it's even a PG-13 movie, too.
For being PG-13, sure. Uh-huh. They definitely pushed the limit, I think, as far as they could. And then just before he leaves, Jean Grey
mind melds stuff.
Sort of like brain telepathy, like, your name is Logan, and he's like, huh. And then he runs out the door like a scared animal. I'm pretty sure I heard him howl at one point.
Yeah.
He howls, right?
Mm.
He's like a werewolf?
No. Not really.
Did you notice, Drew, he said not a word?
Correct.
Not even a grunt or anything.
Nope. No.
Wordless cameo from Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, but I mean, they
did. But he still did a lot.
Well, that and they established the connection between Jean Grey and Logan.
Sure.
Which,
that's
X-Men
thing.
Lore.
That's a big thing there.
Well, I mean, they made a big deal of it in the first three X-Men movies.
It was much bigger then, absolutely. Now it's more like, he's a 100-something-year-old man, and she's 20.
Mm-hmm.
Tops. She's 20 in real life.
Yeah.
She's in the movie playing a high schooler. So, it's not like Famke Johnson here.
But no.
Who's to be Famke? Remember in Wolverine, how the flashbacks they had of her?
Yeah.
And it was just like her in a negligee.
Yep.
Which is like 3/4 of her tits hanging out.
It's like awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty awesome for like dudes, but a lot of people were like, what's this all about?
Wolverine's kind of in love with Jean Grey.
I mean, come on. He misses her boobs.
He's got a thing for redheads.
He's got a thing for boobs, too. Redheads and boobs. So they bust everyone out. They bust out Wolverine. We never see him again.
Yep. And then it's time to go fight Apocalypse immediately.
Immediately, right? They just...
Yes.
They just go there.
Yes.
The whole time. And then the whole time, that's going on the side, right? We got Apocalypse, who's just... He has Xavier. They're standing on some rocks. The horsemen are around him, just posing. Yep.
He's posing down. He's given Angel metal wings. He's increased Storm's powers.
Maybe my favorite scene of the movie is when Angel's drunk in the warehouse listening to Metallica's The Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
And Apocalypse shows up and they're like, Psylocke's like, I think we made a mistake. This guy, I don't know. And he's like, no, that's cool. And he gives him the whole metal wing transformation. And then it's all set to like, kind of like the Metallica, sort of like remixed a little bit. It was pretty good.
It was pretty awesome.
It was pretty cool. Yeah, it was pretty cool. This is interesting. This is nice. And then they went and got Magneto and Auschwitz, etc. So
yeah,
we kind of skipped over all that.
Well, I mean...
But who cares? Because it was so perfunctory. Like, the way he recruits Storm, Psylocke, and Angel...
He just walks in and is like, you're coming with me. And they're just like, okay.
Yeah, he sees Storm as like, you with me. And then he walks into another room and Psylocke comes out. It's like, you. Okay, I like you. You got balls. You with me. And then she's like, I know a dude. They go to Angel. It's like, okay, you. How do they even get to Magneto? How do you know about Magneto? Did one of them say, like, I know about Magneto? Or was he on the news? Or I don't remember.
I think something about it was the news.
He saw it on the news?
Because it was the 10-year anniversary.
Okay. And it's like, I'm going to go find this dude.
Yeah.
All right. So
And then outside of Magneto using his like metal, his magnetism powers, I'm going to use that specifically to destroy the world.
Well, he's using that on the core of the Earth.
Exactly. Yeah. He's like, I got a specific job for you. The other three, they don't have a job.
They're
like,
basically him and Xavier, and they just grab Xavier, and Xavier's got a bigger part than the other three horsemen combined.
Yeah, he's like, Xavier, I'm going to do like what I did with Oscar Isaac. I'm going to jump into your body and use your powers of telepath to be like to finally be a real god.
Yeah.
The one thing that keeps Apocalypse from being a god is his lack of omniscience.
Yes.
He's not.
No.
He can learn a lot. He can do a lot, obviously, but he's not. He doesn't know everything at the same time. But
if he had Xavier's power...
He could.
He could. So, I mean, Xavier could be a god, but he uses restraint.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
It's that whole Spider-Man thing. With great power comes great responsibility.
Yes, he's a nice guy. People like him. He wants to be liked. We get it. Magneto would abuse that shit, probably.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Magneto was right. So Apocalypse, and then like at least four times Apocalypse is all like, oh, we're going to burn down this world and raise up a new one. Oh, we're going to bring it down. And like, look, all right, let's do it. We're going to do it. First, he gets like takes all the nukes, sends them into orbit.
It explodes them.
Gets rid of them. He's like, we don't need these things.
Yep.
I don't need them coming after me with their dupes. Then, okay, so this kind of bugs me. This part annoys me.
Okay.
I gotta say. So he gets Magneto. Magneto's like just floating in the air. And you see this in the trailer. All the metals floating around him in like weird streams and magnetic fields. And you see the shot of like the city next to the water with the two bridges. And those things are all starting to be destroyed. It's in all the marketing, that shot, right? That's it for showing us the worldwide devastation.
Yeah.
Right, they're talking about how this is the apocalypse, it's the end of the world.
It's the whole world.
It's supposed to be the biggest X-Men movie of them all. You just see that one shot of the two bridges and part of a city, like, oh, it's sort of getting a little fucked up.
You would think they would do like a quick flash cut to like all of the
show all the monuments. Exactly. Go give me old school Independence.
Yeah, exactly. Give me the Eiffel Tower being twisted. I mean, the thing's made out of metal anyway.
Yeah. All the metal things around the world. Yes. Yeah the building's getting fucked up. Somehow.
All that stuff being twisted. You know, show me Tokyo real quick. You know, show me all this nonsense. Mm-hmm.
And instead, it's like they just show you a little bit, and then they cut to what was that like? Ang Lee, CAI, Pentagon. They cut to a room full of generals.
Yeah.
One guy, he has the phone against his face. He takes the phone down slowly. He looks at him and goes, it's happening all around the world. Like, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks. You couldn't show me that? This movie cost you how many millions of dollars?
They showed Cairo, too.
Yeah, I guess. Yes. Pfft. Come on, guys. I did not feel like worldwide destruction was imminent. It felt like the San Francisco Bay was under attack. again, in an X-Men movie. And so that bugged me, right? But then, anyway, so that's finally going down. He's like, we're gonna, I'm gonna mom meld with McAvoy. And then the other horsemen, the other three guys, they're going to fight off whoever's coming. Who happens to be the X-Men.
Yes.
Led by Mystique, who her whole thing is like, I don't want to be a leader. And then they're like, you're a leader. And she's like, I don't want to be. And they're like, you're a leader. And then she's like,
okay,
I'm a leader. Which I guess it's really been a three-movie journey for that character. Weird how she's been like the central, ended up being the central character.
I know, in all three movies. Yeah. It's kind of strange.
First one started with her as a child in the Xavier home. Yeah. And she was like timid and didn't feel at home.
And in all reality, I mean, it's really been this.
And they're coming back as a warrior.
This has really been the story of her and Xavier. I mean, it started with them.
Yeah, but then in this movie, then they don't do that much together. Yeah, it should have been more about the two of them.
They don't do much together, but both of their characters are the driving storylines.
Yes, sure. And Magneto, I would say. His anger.
When I think Magneto, I'm. With these movies, I lump him into the Xavier plotline.
Okay, sure. A lot of times... Xavier slash Magneto. Yeah. Yes.
It's one plotline.
Okay, sure. I agree.
So...
100%. It is pretty much those two storylines then that's been evolving over the three movies. But I feel like with this one, other than getting Mystique to finally be like the leader of the group that she was somehow destined to be, and a little bit with Magneto, again, flip into the dark side one more time, I was like, how many more times can we listen to Professor X and Magneto debate? Have the same debate.
Oh, I mean,
they have it every movie.
They've been doing it for 60 years,
Chris. I know, it's just the same thing over and over.
It is the great debate.
Like, we get it, Malcolm X slash Martin Luther King. We get it. Yeah. Militants versus, yes. Oh, honestly, sure, guys, but come on, something new? No, not really.
See, the thing is, if you want something new, you got to start introducing new characters. That's the way they did it in comic books.
And instead of introducing new characters, they just introduced new versions of characters they already use.
Yeah.
Nightcrawler has been used before, Cyclops, Jean Grey.
Yes.
Obviously, now we have the younger versions of Professor X and Magneto.
Yeah. We've got a Psylocke now.
And we have a Psylocke now who's going to be used in more X-Men movies.
Well, of course. Olivia Munn is...
It's her first movie. It's her first outing. We got the new Storm, who... All right, I'm going to talk about Storm for a second here. So, Storm just, gets recruited pretty easily.
Yeah.
She's just like...
You're a mutant, you're a thief, you're convenient.
Yeah, you're convenient. She's just like, welcome to the 80s. And then he touches her, I'll make you super powerful. And then she's like, I'm a super powerful being now. I'm going to hang out with this dude. And then at the end, during the battle, she's fighting for a second, but then she stops fighting, and for some reason she's like...
Well, it's not for some reason.
Why does she have a change of heart?
Well, because...
What's going on?
In the beginning, she talks about Mystique being her hero.
Right.
That, the other. So when Mystique
is her mutant hero.
So when Mystique shows up to fight against her...
Apocalypse, yeah. And Apocalypse has her by the throat.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh no, I like Mystique. She was a poster on my wall.
Exactly.
So then she decides to flip sides.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end, when they're watching the mansion being put back together,
they just straight up killed Archangel.
Yeah, they did. The character flies, right?
Yeah.
But they had him in the airplane and they crashed the airplane.
Yes.
Why didn't you jump out of the airplane and fly away? So they at the end, at the very end, when they're rebuilding the mansion and Storm's hanging out and Quicksilver's there, he's like, I don't want to stick around here. And she looks up and she's like, you know what? I'm gonna stick around too.
Yep.
No one asked. She's like, I'm just about myself alone.
Yeah.
You belong back in Cairo stealing fruit. But no.
But now she's a super powerful mutant.
But now she's a super powerful mutant that controls.
Now she's got a white mohawk.
And she controls the weather. And she's got the white hawk. That actress reached out to Halle Berry for some tips, storm tips. Never heard back.
Makes sense. Halle Berry wasn't necessarily the best storm. They just gave her white hair.
She was the only storm.
Yeah.
So. She reprised in Days of Future Past. It wasn't that long ago. So, they are fighting Apocalypse, and Magneto is like, someone around him was like, people love you. Remember people? And he's like, oh, you're right, Xavier. I'll be good again.
Yeah, because I don't think Quicksilver is ever like, yo, you're my papa.
Right. That would have been, I felt like that would have been good.
Yeah.
That would have been dramatically satisfying. Story-wise, to have Quicksilver confronts him. He's like, I'm your son. Actually give him a reason to be like, come on, don't be a bad dude. Be a good dude. Be a good guy. Be cool with me.
Let's do this.
And, but he, pussed out. And, but Magneto still is like, there's something.
He's like, I'll try again.
He was like, there's something about that guy. Man, I'll try again. I'll be good again. And then he turns his attention to Apocalypse. And then it becomes a big old battle against Apocalypse. Everyone just putting all their power at him. See,
yep.
Then Jean Grey shows up. And then it's like a Phoenix.
And then it's and Apocalypse.
He's like. Oscar Isaac as Apocalypse.
Not so bad.
Yeah. I mean, not bad. But I gotta say, I felt like it was impersonal. I didn't feel... Oscar Isaac is a great actor, very soulful actor. He can do a lot, but he's just being, stoic and calm the whole time. And it was, kind of boring.
I mean, it was definitely...
I guess I wanted more.
It was definitely a waste of his talent. How about that?
For him, for sure.
I mean,
he is one of our best young actors working right now. Youngish, he's in his early 30s.
In all reality, they could have thrown almost anybody.
With all that makeup.
Yeah.
With the character design, the CG plus the makeup, and that suit.
Yeah, they could have thrown almost anybody in there.
Plus, I wasn't too big on that design. It was a little overly designed,
I mean...
It was weird.
They were trying...
It's more Egyptian, less outer spacey.
Yes.
Right?
Well, that's what they were going for.
Right.
They rewrote Apocalypse.
Yeah.
So.
I would have referred the outer space look, where it looks like more like he's wearing some sort of robo suit type thing, and so some sort of Egyptian... I don't even know what that was.
Yeah.
Armor. Yeah, you're right. It could have been anyone. A waste of a good talent, Oscar Isaac. It's cool that he got the paycheck and got his name out there, but...
Could have been anyone.
I would like it. And the scene where I did enjoy when Professor X was like, I'm going to go inside his mind. And we're going to battle inside his mind. That was fun.
That was cool.
I was like, I like this on a meta level. And, it's a conceptually, it's weird and it's cool. And then Apocalypse did the thing where he was like, he grabbed him and he started growing. And at one point he was like, I don't know, like 10 feet, 12 feet tall. And I was like, why didn't they just make him look like that the whole movie? Like generally intimidating. Like, nope, he's a giant
he,
dude.
He can only do that in Xavier's mind.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't know. It's like, he should have been a big dude. Because in the comics, he's a big dude.
Bigger, yeah. I mean, you're talking about 10, 12 feet tall.
Yeah. Yeah, which is part of his intimidation.
Yeah.
He's gigantic.
Yeah.
And Oscar Isaac is conservatively 5'8".
Yeah.
In the movie, they try to make him look like closer to 6 feet, I guess.
Which they can do for Force Perspective.
They could have made him look, but Force Perspective and effects, they could have made him look like 10 feet tall. They could have made him look like a big dude. They did make him look like a big dude. At one point, he was like fucking 40 feet tall.
Yeah.
He was slamming Xavier around against the wall. Seriously, like
it's a comic book movie. You don't have to worry about too much CG.
I know, guys. Come on. Anyway. I felt like they could have done more with the Apocalypse character. And then it ends, and it's all like we have our new characters, and some of the old ones, like Magneto's just like, I don't want a fugitive, and I just destroyed, presumably, good chunks of the world, because part of the world was being destroyed before he switched sides.
Yeah, but, I mean, they said something about, at the end, like, how Magneto helped, and they were like, oh, everyone's like, oh, Magneto, he helped him, blah, blah, blah.
Well, it helped
to destroy Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah, sure, but I'm talking about before he still, like, killed a lot of people,
yeah,
presumably.
I guess they gave him a pass.
Yeah, because then he just, like, he talks to Xavier, yeah. And he has his hand in his pockets, yeah. Like, and he just walks out the door. It's like, peace out, bro. I'll see you later, my friend.
I mean,
no one's looking for
nobody me. Knows how many millions of people I just killed, but whatever.
I know. And we honestly don't know because they didn't show us.
And the billions of dollars in damages that caused across the world.
And the loss of economy and, you know, ruined everything. He was still right, though. Humans aren't deserving of this world. Did we, is there anything else then? And then at the end, and then it's like, they got the team back together. They're all wearing cool suits.
Yeah.
More colorful suits than they've ever worn. Mm-hmm. Mystique's the leader.
Yes.
And she's like, let's practice. And then the Sentinels, giant robots.
Well,
out.
I mean that was cool. The Danger Room.
Yeah, Danger Room, right where they practice against Sentinels. I feel like that
not,
was
not only Sentinels, just
whatever they need to come up with.
Yeah,
in this version was like the three Sentinels came out for them the practice against, and I feel like that was a bit of a dig at X-Men: The Last Stand, where they have a scene where they're fighting in a room in a Danger Room, but you don't see what they're fighting against. It's like shot really poorly and terribly, and then you just see the giant head of the robot, like Wolverine cuts it off, and crash on the ground. It's like,
it's the Danger Room.
Oh, there's a robot in the dark, guys. Use your imagination. Like, fuck you, man. That show is terrible. And then at the end of this one, they're like, no, look, see? Anything else?
So when does the next one come out?
At this rate, 2017, 2018, Fox has something scheduled, on the schedule for 2018 that's untitled, like Marvel X-Men project
thing,
which could be a crossover thing, whatever they want to put into that spot it could be. So but then it'll be with the young Cyclops, Game of Thrones Jean Grey. I wouldn't be surprised if McAvoy comes back.
Yeah, I mean he doesn't really do other things that much.
Doesn't have to be a main character at all. He chose the chair, he's back at the
mansion.
Exactly.
And seriously,
he uses Cerebro a couple times.
No, exactly. And in all reality he could show up for like a week's worth of shooting.
Yeah.
And call it a fucking day.
Yeah, it's not like he's a field character.
No.
He's in a wheelchair. Nothing against people with wheelchairs, but come on.
Well, no, exactly.
We're fighting against people that are flying around and got magnet powers, and you're in a wheelchair.
Yeah. I mean, you've got awesome powers. I mean, until they get him his floaty chair.
Well, yeah, floaty chairs are cool.
Yeah, eventually he gets that floaty chair.
Well, I guess the next one will be take place in the 90s, and they'll be like listening to Nirvana. And go up against what villains are left? They just blew out Apocalypse.
The 90s was X-Men getting hot again. That's when they made that big reboot with the X-Men.
The animated series and stuff. But I'm saying, who are their villains gonna be?
I mean, probably somebody from
Stryker's back, obviously. He's always back, fucking Stryker. But they use Trask, they use Apocalypse. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it all depends.
They use the Hellfire Club.
It all depends on how much they want to dig into it. I mean, they could go they could go really weird.
Mm-hmm.
We could go they could go Mojo. Are you familiar with Mojo?
Mojo Jojo?
No. Mojo.
Powerpuff Girls?
No. Mojo.
Oh, I'm ready to disappoint.
He's from another dimension.
Okay.
He's a giant yellow fat guy.
Ooh.
He has, like, it looks like it's like spider feet, like a cybernetic spider feet.
Okay.
But in his dimension, he's the ruler, and everything is televised. So everything is different channels, like this, that, the other, and the
like Earth is a channel.
Yeah, well, but the X-Men get sucked into their dimension, and you know have to do, fun, weird television stuff. Blah blah blah.
Sounds wacky doodle.
Yeah, that's how they introduce the character of Longshot, whose mutant power is extraordinary luck.
He's good at the long shots.
Well, no, but that's just it. Like, his mutant power is luck. So, like, let's say he needs to hit that exact spot.
Yeah.
If he tries, he'll make it. Every time.
Because of the luck. Yeah,
so he can...
If he plays a lot of, he's going to win it.
Exactly.
That's a good power to have.
Yeah.
I actually like that.
Uh-huh. But he's from a different dimension.
You know that power is also called, in other dimensions, in our dimension, that car is called White Privilege.
Yes.
I think they're just following my way.
I mean, they could do that, and that's really weird. X-Men. I mean, at one point in time,
well, X-Men, yeah, sure, X-Men.
There's that. I mean, one of my favorite little annuals happened in the Mojo World, and it was with the X-Babies.
X-Babies.
The X-Men got transported to Mojo's universe and got turned into babies, ran around whooping ass.
I'll see X-Babies. Oh. I'll watch the X-Babies movie.
The X-Babies.
I'm down with that.
That's pretty cool.
Better than X-Teens. X-Teens are just angsty.
Yeah.
X-Baby sounds ridiculous. Yeah, that sounds fun.
The
X-Babies. Well, X-Men Apocalypse, I thought it was okay. Like you, I feel like it's definitely not the best of the three. I would go, personally, it's tough because I haven't rewatched Days of Future Past since it was in theaters. I think I would say I like that one a little more than First Class.
Yeah.
And then this one, a little under First Class. I feel like there's a lot of X-Men stuff in there that I came to see that I got. The story, they could have done more with the story.
Definitely.
With the characters and connecting everything. It feels more like, here are the characters, here's the problem, mash them together, as opposed to here's a story of development. And
well, I mean, and it's also taking into the fact that you've probably already seen the first three X-Men movies.
You can't...
You already know these characters.
You have to know them. They're assuming you know who these characters are. And you already feel some sort of empathy for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, we don't have to do the work. These people know who X character and Y character and Z character. They know the history of Magneto. And so we can just go to Auschwitz, not have to really get into the whole thing with his parents being killed. And we just allude to it. And people, yeah, exactly, 100%.
Yeah.
You gotta see all these other fucking movies. And good luck trying to make any sense of the goddamn timeline of it. Just forget that. So after this is the Wolverine 3, which I think comes out sometime next year, and I'm looking forward to it. Should be good. Hopefully,
I'm interested to see how they're going to do this.
Yeah, me too.
We went to Japan last time.
Yeah, well,
so they don't have to do that.
Confirmed for sure the Old Man Logan storyline, but with a lot of changes because they don't have rights to a lot of the characters.
Exactly.
Patrick Stewart is for sure playing Professor X.
Yeah.
So it's the two of them transporting whatever across the country, and dystopian future. Everyone else is dead, and they're being tracked down the whole time. And there was something else. What was the other thing about it? Blah, 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 something. Oh, and rumored that it will be the younger female Wolverine, the new one that you said, with the 66%, 33% less adamantium claws.
Yes.
She will show up.
But she has 100% more adamantium, because Wolverine doesn't have it anymore.
It's taken out of him? Because he doesn't, that's right, it was taken out of him. And then,
that was in the 90s,
that's
bro.
Right, but then it's like, he's just always... tough to do anyway.
But that was the thing in the 90s. They took away his adamantium, and everyone thought that the claws were put in during the Weapon X program.
It's like, oh shit.
Wait a minute. The claws are bone?
Bone claws. Oh, bone claws are pretty
cool. That's what blew everybody's mind.
Bone claws are fun.
Yep.
I guess that's it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what did you think? If you saw the movie, what did you think? Let us know on Twitter at Crespediso. Email us cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. Facebook cinemacrespediso. Drew, where can people find you on the interwebs?
At antihero419, all over said interwebs.
Thank you, people. Rate us, review us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Help us out. Share us with your friends. And we're out of here. We'll be back with more shit soon, because that's what we do.